Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You are right, Brother Jude. Praise opens doors. Amen. Let's open some doors tonight. Amen. How many came to have church tonight? Might as well have church. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Seems so strange to always say sister. Maybe brethren and sistren. We need two sisters up here so we can say brothers and sisters. Genesis chapter 32 and verses 6 through 8. Genesis chapter 32. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him." And they've got this great big banner that says, "Welcome home, Esau. Welcome home, Jacob, from Esau." Not hardly. "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." Now think about it. It's been years and years and years. And this has been eating at him for years and years and years. But now God has done something to cause Jacob to be able to face this fear. "And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. And he said, 'If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for the evening service, it's with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips, Lord, and we're in expectation for what you have for us tonight, because, Lord, you always have a meal prepared for us, and Lord, you always have a provision to meet our needs before we even make our needs known to you. And Father, we are a needy people here tonight, and you're a great God, and you're a powerful God. And Father, you own the cattle of a thousand hills. There's not a need in this body tonight that you're not aware of. Of course, we've been taught, we've been instructed to make our requests known before you, and it actually benefits us because we're speaking it out in this dimension. It builds our faith, and we're agreeing with something that's already been provided for in heaven, and we're agreeing that it would be here on the earth. We're partnering with you, Lord, to see that your will is done here on the earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to each and every heart here tonight. Lord, those that were not able to make it, our sister Esther, Lord, we pray that you would just undertake for her once again. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you've been doing. We thank you for your healing, and we thank you, Lord, for bringing her to be with us this week. And we pray, Lord, for a complete and total restoration for our dear sister. Father, those that are not able to be here, we ask that you be with them, those that are listening in. And Father, we surely give you praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Somebody say praise the Lord. You know, that makes the devil nervous when you say that. And I'm tired of the devil making us nervous. It's time for us to make him nervous a little bit. Amen. Brother Branham said in the message, The Lamb's Book of Life, he said, look at Esau and Jacob. Why, Esau was twice as good a guy as Jacob. Sure he was. But Jacob had one thing. He had recompense to the reward. He's seen the birthright, and he counted it the greatest thing on the earth. He counted it the greatest thing on the earth. And today we come out and we count going to church, hearing Dr. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so speak, doing things like that, or joining a fine church. Now, he's not speaking against these things, but those aren't the greatest things. With a nice group going on, a nice revival, we call that doing something good. That isn't it. God looks on the heart, and the heart of Jacob, he didn't care what anything come and go. There was one solid purpose for him, and that's to get that birthright. Come on, friends. This is no minor thing. This is important. It was important in the Old Testament. It's important in the New Testament. He says, there's a real believer today. How many believes that? How many can say, I'm a real believer? There's a real believer today. Let the world call you whatever they want to. They're going to anyway. The world doesn't define you. The world can say whatever they want, but you've already been defined. The Word defines you. What a difference one letter makes. The world doesn't define you. The Word defines you. Let the world call you whatever they want to. Let them say that you're a fanatic if they want to. They call Jesus Beelzebub. How much more will they call you, he said. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. He says, you see it? He says, now what is the seal of God then? Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. The what? Ephesians 4:30, you that's marking it, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That is your seal. So we saw this morning that Jacob had wronged his brother Esau, and he brought fear upon himself. It was self-inflicted. Because of that, he was afraid to face his brother, to go out and meet him, even though many, many years has gone by at this particular time. And we saw that Jacob's greatest desire in life was to have the birthright that actually belonged to his brother Esau by birth. And we know that the birthright and the blessing of the birthright is predestinated to be Jacob's. What we don't know is how God would have made sure that he got that birthright had Jacob not intervened and taken it into his own hands. But before you beat up on him, look at that desire. That desire says, I don't care what I got to do. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I break every order in the church. You got to get out of order long enough to get born again. So we know that the birthright and the blessing of the birthright was predestinated to be Jacob's. But the way that Jacob went about obtaining that birthright was wrong. It was not in keeping with God's character. He obtained it from his brother through deception. And of course, his mother was involved in that. She was prompting that because he was her favorite, of course. And then, of course, by taking advantage of his brother in a moment of weakness. And we also saw this morning that Esau really didn't care much for that birthright. It was his birthright, but it didn't really mean a whole lot to him. And to think that Esau desired more than anything a bowl of pottage over a birthright, something here and now, something temporary, a temporary blessing, something that's here today and gone tomorrow, something that doesn't even last a whole day. The very next day, Esau was hungry again. But Jacob desired something that was greater than the here and now. What Esau desired was what his name was changed to by God. God looked at what his desires were and he said, okay, I'm going to name you that. Your name will be a reflection of the desires that are in your heart. Showing each and every one of us in this life that we all, each and every one, we will be sealed by the very same thing that we desire in this life. And what we desire the most in this life will be what we seek after. No matter what we say, no matter what excuses that we might have, no matter what trade-offs that we might make, we will seek after what we most desire in this life. What we desire with all of our heart will be what we pursue after, and it will also match the character and the nature that's already in us that will ultimately be manifested in our life as well. Our life will be a book that's read of all men before this is all over, because whatever's in you is going to be on display. So those that desire the riches of this world, they will devote their lives to seeking after those things. Some people will say, well, some people are just gifted at that, obtaining things like that. That may be true, but some people are just, that's their desire. You know, you can say the same thing about a person that is out of cigarettes and they want to get a fix. You can say, well, look at how creative people can be when they don't have any money and they don't have any access, but yet they need to get a fix. And their desire is to satisfy that fix more than anything. They're geniuses. They can figure out, I don't care what it is, they'll figure out a way to satisfy that. So those that desire the riches of this life, they're going to seek after those things. For some, it might be popularity that's most important to them. And for some, they'll do like Esau and they'll sell out their birthright for a meal ticket. For something that has absolutely no eternal value. Something that just, it's very temporary. It's something that's only satisfying for one particular moment of a day. Not even a whole day. So we see that many throughout the church ages of the New Testament, they've had the opportunity to obtain eternal life. And many, many have had their names on the book of life before they came here to the earth. But many, many also have had their names blotted from the book after tasting of the heavenly gift and deciding that the things of this life are more important to them than a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there are many nice things, as we said this morning, there are many nice things that we can have in this life, and nothing against these things. There's no sin in them, unless you make them your God, unless that's your first and foremost, your greatest desire. We can have a nice church. I believe we do, and I thank the Lord for it. You can have a nice home. You can have a nice job. You can have a good education to pursue whatever your calling is in life. But for the elect seed of God, those things are not the greatest things that there are on the earth for them. Amen. Their personal seed of Abraham walk with God, that is the greatest thing that there is for them in the whole earth. There's nothing greater. Friends, you can't make this stuff up. You can't manufacture it. It's either there or it isn't. So one thing is certain. Whatever your heart is truly desiring, it will be made manifest in your life. Whether the desire is for something that's good or something that's bad, it will be manifested. And each of us will be marked, or we will be sealed by the very thing that we desire the most in this world. So it would behoove us to look at what it is that we're hungering and thirsting after. What it is that's driving us. What it is that makes us want to get up in the morning. What it is that causes us to want to live. To have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on my soul. To have the revelation of Jesus Christ personally. To have the restored word. To have an Abraham walk with the Lord. To have my counterpart walking together with me. What more could I ask for? To have the promise that Christ will come for his bride through a spiritual seed line of the finishers of the race that are on the earth at this hour. Those are the things that I value above all other things in life. Who will raise their hand tonight and say, me too. Count me in. Don't leave me out of that. And to know that my inheritance also includes my loved ones. Come on, friends. That's not skim milk. That's a promise. So no matter what comes my way in this life, I already have the greatest things that there are in this life. There's nothing more. I already have it. And that is my walk with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my personal walk with Him that was promised to Abraham's spiritual seed. So my seal means more to me than anything. I treasure it more than anything. Now recall, Jacob and Esau, they were in the message of Father Abraham. Their daddy was a prophet. They were the grandsons of a prophet. They were following the message that was given to Abraham, and it was promised to Abraham and to his seed. They both went to the same church. They both came out of the same womb. It doesn't, as we said this morning, it doesn't get any closer than that. And yet we see two completely different thirsts down on the inside of them. Esau was a better man. If you were to look at the two, You might look at Jacob and think, well, he's a little quiet. He's a little backward. He's not much of a conversationalist. And you'll find him hanging around mom and collecting flowers or whatever it is that he does while his brother's out in the field, right? And yet one of them had a desire for something that was eternal, and the other one had desires for the here and now. What a difference. They both memorized the same quotes. They were both loved of their family. And as we saw this morning, we know that Esau's name was on the book of life, just as Judas's name was on the book of life. Questions and answers. He says, so Judas had his name there on the book of life. That's exactly right. But he was condemned. Because what did he do? He sold out his birthrights. This is an act that we do. It's not taken from you. He sold out his birthrights. Esau was born in a family with the promise of God. The oldest son had the birthright. How many knows that? By a promise of God, Esau's name was on the book for the birthright. Is that right? But he swapped it for a mess of gourds or peas. Hungry to fill his belly. His meal ticket. He swapped his birthrights for a meal ticket. And then he could find no place to repent. There was no place to repent. He says those spies, they went over to spy out the land, and they came and even eat the grapes that Joshua and Caleb brought back. And yet, what did they do? Sold out their birthrights. So he's showing us a pattern here that's all the way through the scriptures. Paul, speaking with the inspiration of Christ in Hebrews the 6th chapter, he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God, and count the blood of the covenant, wherewith they were sanctified, an unholy thing, and done despite to the works of grace. It is impossible for that person ever to come back. It's serious. It's something that people shouldn't take chances with. It's something that even when we look upon something and we wonder, is that the Holy Ghost or is that this or that? Be careful what you say. Be careful what your approach is. Be careful what your attitude is. He says, them, everyone besides Joshua and Caleb, they died and perished in that wilderness. Yet they were believers, yet their names were on the books and their names were taken off. So what will people sell their birthright for? Now, to an elect seed of God, there's nothing that means more to you than that birthright. So you can't even comprehend what people would sell that birthright for. It's not even a question in your own mind. I'll tell you tonight, friends, mine's not for sale. There's no price. There's nothing that Satan could offer me to cause me to sell out my birthright. Anybody with me tonight? I trust that yours is not for sale either. Verse 32, Genesis 25:32. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? You know, if I don't get something to eat, I'm going to die. So what's the birthright worth anyway? My goodness. If you were to die, don't you want eternal life? This guy, he's looking at it all wrong. He has disdain for this birthright. It has no value to him. But the here and now, that's what he's looking to. So look at his attitude towards the birthright. It means everything to Jacob. And Jacob would stop at nothing to get this birthright. Since he was old enough to even know what it was, there was something that was just down inside of him that says, you know, I want that. Oh, I know it's already been declared. I know that, the firstborn, there's a promise, and I know that it belongs to my brother, and I know that I grabbed his heel. I understand. I was called a heel grabber. I grabbed a hold of his heel as he's going out of the womb because I wanted to come out first. I've wanted that. My desire has been for that birthright before I came to the earth. Friends, you're predestinated to have that life. You're called before the foundation of the world to have that life. And God's not taking chances with this. He's not rolling dice. God puts a desire down on the inside of a son or daughter of God to cry out for that. And I don't care how deep you are in sin. I don't care what your background is. That thirst, that hunger is going to cry and it's going to beat until there's a deep that calls to the deep, until that satisfying portion comes. And when it comes, you're not even sure exactly what it is that you're looking for, but you're crying out for it. And when it comes, you'll say, ah, this is that. I get it. I know what it is because I got it. And nothing in this life can compare with it. How many can say amen to that? What profit shall this birthright do to me? So look at his attitude toward the birthright. It means everything to Jacob. It means so little to Esau. They both heard mom talk about it. They both heard dad talk about it. But Esau, it didn't get his attention. He knows that it was promised to him. He says, this birthright, what profit it be? This birthright. So even in the Old Testament, the new birth had a cloud hanging over it. It was something that didn't have a high reputation. And why we are not a denomination, Brother Bram says, Esau was twice the guy that Jacob was when it come to being a man. So no doubt, if we were there and we were watching these two, we'd say, you know what? Esau's a better church member. You know, he's our song leader. And he's such a smooth talker. And he'll get up and tell stories. And he'll go this way and that way. And he's just got charisma. And you know, he's daddy's favorite. And he's got this pompadour hairdo. And he is a little hairy, but you know, can't have everything. But this guy is great. We don't hear much out of Jacob at all. He seems kind of backward. Yet one of them had a desire for that birthright and the other one didn't. Friends, if you have that desire, you ought to get on your knees and praise God every morning. Every day that you get up, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. I am blessed and highly favored because you gave me that desire and you've satisfied. Hallelujah. Why we are not a denomination. Esau was twice the guy that Jacob was when it come to being a man. Taking care of his old blind daddy and everything else. And Jacob was a little shyster that hung around his mother's apron. Little old sissy boy. Now he wasn't, you know, what we would call a sissy today is a whole different thing. A sissy really is a sissy today. Wants to be called a sissy. He's proud of being a sissy. He was a little old sissy boy. But God said, I love Jacob. And I refuse Esau. Before either boy was born. Romans 8 says so. That's exactly right. God knows what's in man. Aren't you glad tonight, friends? And he knows what's in the church too. We live by the bread of life, the bread of the word of God. Now, that's why we're not a denomination. And the church says, amen. Amen. Verse 33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. Jacob's not taking any chances. He's going through the first, second, third pull of this. He and his mother have worked this up and he's going to make sure that there's no, that depends on what the word is. That there's no other escape clause. He's going to make sure that this is done, settled, fini, final, finished, the end. He said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, we know the gift of God is not for sale. But we do know also that it'll cost you everything you have. You can't keep everything you have and take this gift. You got to unburden yourself. This has to mean more to you. Friends, that's why people that want the Holy Ghost get the Holy Ghost. Because it means more to them than anything else. They don't know how to do it. They know what God said. All they know is that they keep at it and they keep at it till that faith drops down. And then that presence comes and the word is fulfilled in their life and they won't be satisfied until that takes place. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Tragic, isn't it? There's no mention of tears here. There's no Esau. Well,
oh, this is so hard.
It wasn't hard. There was no struggle. It wasn't like, well, let me go pray about it. There was no deliberating. It's like, okay. All right. No regrets. Verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, bean soup. How good was this? Did it have barley in it and maybe some chunks of beef and a little Worcestershire sauce and a little marjoram? And yeah, I used to make that. A little black pepper maybe. Maybe some secret ingredients Colonel Sanders had in his back pocket. How good was this? It was to die for, evidently. He swapped eternal life for a bowl of beans. From the first seal. He says, now you see the three classes always. The book the dead were judged out of. Another book, the book of life. Them who had their names in the book of life. We went through this as we went through the church ages and went through it in great detail, went through all the scriptures that shows that God doesn't put your name on the book when he watches you and sees that you're interested. And God doesn't look down through time to see whether you're interested and then write your name on the book. God writes your name on the book in the beginning, and it's his sovereign will to put your name on the book. There are some names that are on that book that can never be taken off of. And those names that are put on that book, they will seek after that life. And that life will mean more to them than anything. Others, their name will be put on the book of life. And they will have an opportunity for that life. And some will go on and they'll be given life at the great white throne judgment. Others will have their name taken off that book. And then there are some that whose names were never on there. And never will be there. They were ordained for something else. Come on, friends. If that bothers you tonight, then maybe you ought to let God be God. Because he's God. It's not our choice, it's his. It's not our plan, it's his plan. It's not our work, it's his work. It's not our glory, it's his glory. It's not for us, it's for him. But we benefit from it, don't we? Just to be a part of his plan ought to cause you to shout. Now you see the three classes, always the book the dead were judged out of, another book, the book of life, them who had their names in the book of life. You say, well, if your name's in the book of life, it's all right, huh? No, sir. Look, Judas Iscariot had his name in the book of life. Now say that's wrong. Jesus in Matthew 10 gave them power to cast out devils. He sent them forth to heal the sick and to cleanse the lepers and to raise the dead. And they went out and they returned back, Judas right with them, and they cast out devils and they'd done all kinds of miracles, and they returned back and they said, even the devils are subject unto us. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the devils is subject to you, which they were, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And Judas was with them. But what happened? When it come down to the elected group to go up there at Pentecost and really receive the Holy Spirit, Judas showed his colors. He'll be there in the judgment. So the books was open, and the book of life was open, and every man was judged thus. Now the bride's standing there with Christ to judge the world. So God's looking at the inner man. Friends, he doesn't leave it a mystery to us. If that desire is down on the inside of you, then when he draws you, because you won't come to him unless he draws. Nobody does. God has to draw you. We all run from him. Well, I just decided, no, God moved on your heart. Your time came. The wheels of God's prophecy turned into the right place. And he said, all right, Doug, come. All right, Mike, come. All right, Daniel, come. Now is your time, John. God looks at the inner man. Jacob had recompense to the reward, but not Esau. It was the greatest thing on the earth. I imagine that night that, I imagine he must have had a Holy Ghost jubilee. He and his mother together. I imagine there was a celebration, not in Esau's presence, of course, somewhere else. But I imagine there was some shouting. I imagine there was some. Friends, how was it for you? How was it for you after you received the Holy Ghost? That great baptism of love that came down into your soul. And then you started thinking of all the implications of that. You've got the Holy Ghost now, and then it just dawns on you, you know what? I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to live forever. And then you start thinking about it. Now, before long, you start going crazy. You say, okay, I better stop. I can't even forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'm eternal. Then you start thinking about it a little bit more. Wait a minute, if I'm eternal, then that means I always was. I didn't pre-exist like an angel, but I existed in God. I came out of him. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. So if I have eternal life, I was in him. I wasn't thinking, I wasn't shaking your hand, but I was in him. You don't think of those things quite the same way until you are sealed with the promise and your eternal destination is set and it's sure. Somebody say praise the Lord. How many believes you can know that? Amen. To not know it is to try to be a Christian. To know that is to be an overcomer. Because you know that, look, if I'm going to live eternally, there's nothing that's going to stop me. There's nothing that's going to keep me from my destiny. God knows the thoughts that he thought concerning me, and they're good thoughts. They're not of evil. But he's giving, his thoughts are for an expected end for me. There's no surprise ending to my life. It's already been foretold. And I'm enjoying it now. I'm not going to wait till I get over to the other side to start liking this. I'm going to enjoy church now. I'm going to enjoy praising him now. I'm going to enjoy serving him now. I'm going to enjoy his marvelous attributes. I'm going to enjoy his love and his friendship. I'm going to enjoy this walk that I have with him on this side of glory. Sure, I'll enjoy it over there, but might as well enjoy it here. I'm not enduring my salvation. I'm enjoying it. You say, but I'm going through this or that. My destiny is set. Your destiny is set. There's a lot of roadblocks in the way, but nothing's going to keep you from it, friends. You have an appointment with destiny. And God has set your appointment. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. It was the greatest thing to Jacob on the earth. What's the greatest thing to us tonight? I'll tell you what the greatest thing is for me, my walk with God. Amen. It has been ever since this book came open to me. Ever since He made Himself real to me. Revelation from God means more to me than anything else. Brother Bram said it means more to the true believer than anything else. So it doesn't mean more to me because He said it. I say amen because it matches my experience. I'd rather talk about Him than anything else. You know, when I talk about Jesus, I don't get depressed. When I talk about Jesus, I don't worry about the bills getting paid. I don't worry about the temperature. I don't worry about the fact that a wheel bearing went out or a strut or universal joint or whatever that thing is that's growling in my front end. You know, I just paid my truck off. Isn't that what happens? You know, they design things to last just exactly the amount of time that the payments last. Should have put Germans in charge of all of this. They made things that'll last forever. In America, it's designed to wear out. It's designed to wear out when your wallet wears out. And it's time to get a new wallet. Now it's time to get a new vehicle. But I'm not complaining. We'll get through this. Whether I have a payment or I don't, whether my front end is growling and I don't know what it is, but I got to fix it or not, I already have. I already have the greatest thing. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to spend my whole life seeking after something. I've already attained it. Amen? I just want to spend the rest of my life going into it as fully as I can. Taking full advantage of my full inheritance. Being all that He wants me to be. Being all that He decreed that I would be in this life. I don't want to wait till I get to the other side to live supernaturally. I want to live it here. I don't want to wait till the other side to decide to have an old-fashioned meeting. I want to make up my mind whenever I want to have an old-fashioned meeting to just have one. Friends, we don't have to have a certain minister come by. Nothing wrong with that. We don't have to have our special meetings. We don't have to have sing a certain song to have an old-fashioned meeting. We just got to make up our mind that's what we want to have. Anybody want to have one tonight? Brother Jude was under the same inspiration. It was a little slow, your reaction to that move, that music, but it struck your heart. Amen. Let's have a meeting. Let's make up our mind tonight. We're going to have an old-fashioned meeting. And we're going to take advantage. Don't stare at me tonight. If you're staring, stop it. I'm not an insect. I'm not a bug. Maybe they're more interesting. Just make up your mind. It is that simple. It's here. It's available. Our young people need it. Our old people need it. Our middle-aged working class people need it. Just make up your mind. You know what? I'm going to have church. I'm not going to let old sourpuss hold me back. I'm not going to let these thoughts, these demonic thoughts that are passing through the building tonight. There's no devil that's going to ruin my service. I came to worship the King. I am eternal already. And I'm calling the shots. God said this belongs to me. I'm taking it. Come on, church. We've let sourpuss's spirits reign on our parade too long. We forgot what belongs to us. Let's have a meeting. Let's get out of order long enough to get the Holy Ghost. Don't get nervous. Devil, get nervous. Just depends on who you're talking to. Jacob and Esau, they were in the same church, same message, same womb of the church. Come on, friends. One of them didn't care about it. Who cares whether he cares about it or not? Don't look at him. Well, he doesn't enjoy this, or he's sitting on me, or he's a drag. You know, you can use that for a short period of time. You can say, well, it's because this person is a drag, or that person is a drag, or I feel a funny spirit. You can use that for a short period of time. But after a while, you just got to make up your mind. Is that spirit greater than the one that's in me? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is my church. It doesn't belong to the devil. I realize that he comes to try to rain on my parade, but I'm going to have church anyway. Same wound with the church. Likewise, Judas had his name on the book of life, but he sold out his birthright for 30 pieces of silver. Esau had first rights to the birthright, but he swapped it for something that was temporary. Something that was here on the earth. Something that would just satisfy a physical desire for a short period. But the true bride of Jesus Christ, for her, the birthright's not for sale. Nobody will talk you out of it. Nobody will shut you down. Nobody will convince you, well, you love Brother Branham, don't you? Well, then you got it. You're not going to take a substitute. You're not going to say, well, mom's got it, so I guess I got it. Or I believe the message, so I guess I got it. Or I'm related to somebody, so I guess I got it. Or I was at a meeting and I went into a prayer line and an evangelist says, well, I told him what I was hungering and thirsting for. And he says, well, you got it. It's not a place for an evangelist to tell you that. It's you're the one that has to say it because you're the only one that's going to know. You know whether you've come to life or not. You know whether you, do you think Jacob knew that he had the birthright? Of course he did. Well, you can't really know. It's just, you know, don't take a substitute. Don't take a lie of the devil, friends. It's getting real quiet. I'm hitting a stump. I'm going to preach right through this. We got young people that are counting on this. And friends, it behooves us to make room for them. We got to slug through some demons for them. It would help them out so much if we just created such an atmosphere that all they got to do is just let go and let God. They don't have to fight thoughts and fight this and fight that. Let's do that fighting for them. Let's create that atmosphere. Come on, friends. She will fight to keep it in the church. The nominal church will have no regard for it. But the bride will fight for it. It's her birthright. The Ephesian church age, he says, how a man to hold up a little church doctrine somewhere because their organization wouldn't agree with it, selling your birthrights for a mess of pottage. Esau, you miserable hypocrite. That's right. Selling your birthright for a mess of pottage. Brother Bram, you ought to be nicer about it. You know, if you just be nice about it, maybe people would get this. They're going to do what they're going to do. Esau's going to do what Esau does. The selling of your birthright for a mess of pottage, for a mess of denomination, a mess of organization that God hates. I don't know about you, but if God hates something, I don't want any part of it. God hates it. It's the thing that separated brothers and broke down. There's a many Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterian tonight would like to have fellowship around the table of God. But if they do, they get kicked right out the first time that they start into it. That's exactly right. Come on, friends. And say they got the Holy Ghost. Can't even shake hands with somebody and say they got the Holy Ghost. Come on. Let's don't leave it out there now. Questions and answers. He says, now notice what he did. What this fella did. Esau went out and tried to take care of his poor old blind daddy. And Jacob, seemingly, he didn't care what happened to him. Well, of course he did, but he wasn't as focused on it as Esau was. He says, but there's one thing that Jacob wanted, and that was the birthright. Regardless of what come, how he had to get it, what level he had to come on, that birthright was all he cared for. Friends, that should be our attitude tonight. Our attitude ought to be, God, you promised it, and I don't care what I got to do. Well, he might, you know, I might shout and then I might be embarrassed. I might flop like a chicken with my head cut off. And how are people going to talk? I might run around the church. And that sure would be embarrassing. Go ahead, Esau. Stay the way you are. But for those of you that are ordained to life, you don't care what you got to do. Just as long as it's life. There's one thing that Jacob wanted, and that was that birthright. Regardless of what come, how he had to get it, what level he had to come on, that birthright was all that he cared for. And Esau, the Bible says, despised his birthright. The Bible said that, and the Bible said, except there come some vain fornicator among you. Come on, friends. Oh, we should just, you know, don't talk that way. Well, the Bible talks this way. Except there come some vain fornicator among you, like the evil person Esau, who despised his birthright and sold it for a mess of pottage. Your prophet just called him an evil person. And the prophet of God said, this is my beloved. Isaac said, look at how he takes care of me. Look at how he puts the comforter on me. Look at how he makes my tea for me at night. He carries me into bed. He's there first thing in the morning. Oh, if I say that I sure would like some of that venison, he'll go out and get one and dress it and come and prepare it. And my wish is his command. What a good boy. Brother Branham said, except there comes some vain fornicator among you like that evil person Esau. Now he was evil because he despised his birthright and sold it for a mess of pottage. I don't care how good a person is. I don't care how much they give to the poor. I don't care if you're a rich young ruler. I don't care if you've kept the commandments from your youth. If the things of this life mean more to you than that birthright, you are a profane person. You are a vain fornicator, as the scripture says. Now, what is a birthright? It's the right. That's what I'm trying to show you, he says, or to tell you now. This Holy Spirit is your birthright. That's your birthright. That's your God-given right. Somebody say, that's my God-given right. I have a right to it. Now, people would say today, well, I'll go to church and I'm just as good as the next fellow. Maybe you are. But me, act like one of them holy rollers? Not me. Well, you Esau. See, it's just the same thing. Despising the birthright. Why, he swapped it for a mess of pottage and you'll sell it out. Now, I don't say you, but the world sells it for a whole lot less than that. Well, we see the church doing the same thing. Shout, say amen, maybe run the aisles in church. You'll get some stares that you never thought existed. You'll get some daggers shooting out of you, coming out of people's eyes. Some will even come to you afterwards and tell you, what a baby you are. How immature you are. Maybe they'll tell you just what a mess you made of their service. But I want to remind you tonight, Daniel. I want to remind you tonight. It's not their service, it's yours. They're sitting on your meeting. They want some kind of mausoleum kind of a service. Where they're doing everything, they don't expect God to answer back. It would scare the daylights out of them if God actually moved. Right? Because they expect it to be dead. And they put their dead things up there and say, here's my dead things that I'm offering you. God wants your life. He wants you to lay down your life. It's life for life. I don't care how pretty the flowers are. You can put flowers around the altar all you want, but God wants your life. If we're not careful, young people, we will allow that to affect us. We will think, you know what? There's something in me that's kind of bubbling up, and I kind of want to say amen, and I kind of want to respond, but I know the brother sitting in front of me, it's going to bother him. And you know, I just got enough of Christ in me. I don't want to destroy his service. You need to get a little bit more of Christ in your life and realize it's your service. And He's the one that's destroying your service. I was made to worship. I was made to shout. And I'm not just shouting to shout. I have something to shout about. I was made to praise Him. And I'm not done yet. I got a few new songs yet to sing as new revelation unfolds. I'm going to dance out of this Eden. I'm not crawling out of it. I'm going to shout my way into the heavens. While Satan's shouting and agreeing with me, yeah, please go. Because you're ruining my Eden. All right, you can have it. I'm done with it now. Until I'm done with it, take your hands off. If I come to church to have a service, I'm going to have one. And if Mr. Pouty Pants is sitting next to me, I'm still going to have one. And if Brother Critical is going to meet me outside the church afterwards, I'll just smile and shake my head and say, God bless you. But I'm going to have church anyway. And if he calls me a little baby, I'll say to him, except you be as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. Despise not these little ones. Don't forbid them to come, for such is the kingdom. Come on, friends. We need to break. We got too many binds and too many things holding us back. We've allowed people to come amongst us and rain on our revival. And then they're saying, I got this problem and I got that problem. And the pastor, if he'd just be a little nicer, if he'd just do this and do that instead. If he'd listen to me. If he'd let me give him the quotes to preach. You know, it bothers me when he preaches this or that. Aren't you glad your pastor is led of the Holy Spirit? Because you need to hear what you need to hear. And not what the devil wants you to hear. And not what's pleasing to your flesh. You want to go to a church like that? Go. There are a whole lot more of those than there are these. But if you're going to go to this church, take a hold of what belongs to you. Realize that the person sitting next to you doesn't care what you're doing. Because the person next to you is not paying attention to you. The person next to you is worshiping God. Come on. Well, I'm just not the emotional type. Quit your lying. You're breathing, aren't you? Well, if you're breathing, you got emotion. If you're not breathing, you're dead, and let's bury you. So if you want to play that I don't have emotion part, there's a graveyard waiting for you. I'll bring the shovel. But I'm not burying you here. This is the land of the living. Some of you are still studying a little bit. Well, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. I'm a little nervous. Don't worry. God's not going to cause you to do something that's sinful. It may break your order, but it won't break His. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you Esau, see, it's just the same thing, despising the birthright. Why, he swapped it for a mess of pottage. Something for the here and now. And you sell it. He says, now I don't say you, but the world sells it for a whole lot less than that. Let's bring it on home. In our own ranks, it's sold for a whole lot less than that. There are many that will read the very same quotes as you, that have the very same tapes as you, but they won't preach an old-fashioned meeting. Instead, they'll say, well, sweetie, you believe God sent a prophet, don't you? Listen, your prophet didn't preach that. Your prophet said, you seen a woman come in here a little while ago? That's my daughter, Rebecca. It was in Phoenix. Birth pains, I think he was preaching. You seen a woman come in here a little while ago? You seen me wink at her? That's my daughter. That's my daughter, Rebecca. I'm wanting her to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm wanting her to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? He says, you brethren know that that's what we're here for. You brethren know that it's up to us to create an atmosphere so that life can come forth. And then at the, he says, poor little thing, she's been fasting and praying and hardly stand up. He says, she's wanting that life. Then at the end of the service, he says, those of you that have the Holy Ghost, come down to the altar. Those of you that want it, come down to the altar. Pray with them. How many's listened to God in simplicity? You say, well, of course I have. That was before the seals, right? Leading right up into it. How many's heard God in simplicity preached in Albuquerque, New Mexico? How many's listening to, there it is. How many's listening to them actually receive what he was preaching? How many's listened and heard the Holy Ghost being poured out in a meeting? Come on, it's time to quit being a spectator. It's time for a manifestation. We've had it so many times before, but we've gotten lax. We've settled in for a little bit of good music, and settled in for a nice church, a nice atmosphere. Maybe still a little too picky about whether the temperature's just right, or whether the chair's at the right height, or whether so-and-so in the church has the right kind of hairdo. Come on. What are we here for? An old-fashioned meeting. Your prophet of God went to an old-fashioned meeting one time, a Baptist. And he heard a message being preached by a guy that was 80 years old or so, ringed with white hair, bald on the top, had to be helped up onto the platform. And that man started preaching, and the anointing struck him. And he said, you don't have enough room up here for me to preach right now. And Brother Branham's looking at him. Brother Branham admitted that prior to that, he's looking, the place was packed out with ministers. And he's like, that's the best we can do, that old fossil. Come on. I mean, he was, you know, 19, 20, 21, whatever. He was in his youth himself, right? All around him, there's young preachers, middle-aged preachers, what have you. Here's this old guy up there on the platform. But the Holy Spirit struck him. He said he jumped up in the air, kicked his heels together. How many 80-year-old people can do that? I'll be 64 tomorrow and I can't do it. I don't remember the last time I did a sit-up. Oh yeah, I do, when I got out of bed this morning. And it felt like a sit-up. I used to be able to do 100 sit-ups in 90 sit-ups in 60 seconds. Yeah, I did. It was all the snow shoveling. It builds up your stomach. All that snow shoveling. I had a very strong stomach muscle. Now it hurts just to think about it. I'm wondering, this body did that? Right? Come on, friends. But let that anointing strike you. Let the power of God hit you. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I've seen people run around the church and you're just sure they're going to run somebody over. They don't hit anybody because the Holy Ghost has fallen on them. I remember seeing, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'll just go ahead and do it. I remember seeing Brother Merritt years ago, all elbows and knees flying through the church. And I thought, God help us if somebody gets in the way of that elbow or that knee. Nobody did. I seen Ben flutter around like an eagle. And then Nurse Ratchet got a hold of him afterwards. Met him out behind the building. If you don't know who Nurse Ratchet is, it don't matter. Just somebody that's critical. And she told, this lady was miserable. I feel sorry for her, but she was miserable. And she told Ben, knock that off. Right? I didn't know about it. I wish I would have, because I would have wrung her neck. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I sure would have had a few words with her. I sure would have said, look, if you've got anything you want to tell my son, come tell me. And by the way, you're off the word. And you shouldn't be handling the word. And what'd you tell him to stop for? He did. And I wondered why. You ever do that? You ever wonder why? Somebody that's free in the Lord, somebody that's worshiping, somebody that just seems to have the victory, and all of a sudden, and you're wondering, what happened? We had so many things going on in our life, and there's a lot of changes that are, as your kids are getting, you know, going through their teens and all that. So it was just, you know, one observation of many other things. But I did notice it. And then one day, I don't know, we had an old-fashioned meeting, I guess, and I saw Ben flying around the church. God put some wings on him. Some of you are still staring at me. Some of you are still thinking, well, that's pretty carnal. You need to get out of order. I beg you to let God get a hold of you. He'll start those joy bells ringing. He'll take that crabby spirit off of you. He'll take that worrisome analyzing. Come on, why do we analyze so much? How's that fixing anything? Just let go and let God. Well, after the service, I said to Ben, and I don't remember where it was or whatever, but I thought, wow, you know, I haven't seen you break free like that for a long time, and it just so blesses my heart. And then he shared with me what had kind of put a damper on it. So I'm going to give you a fair warning here tonight. If you want to be a damper, we're after you. Right? If you got a problem with somebody getting out of order long enough to get saved, if you got a problem with somebody worshiping the God of my forefathers, if you've got a problem with the birthright, come talk to me and we'll have a little discussion. But leave our children alone. Every demon from hell is arrayed against them. Our young sisters go to school and they struggle and struggle and struggle because they don't want to be looked at as old-fashioned or some kind of weirdo. We all want to be accepted. We need something. Something to take us through that. Not endure it, but to take us through that. Not only take us through that, but keep us from being wounded in the process. Come on. We used to have services like we're starting to have right now. We used to have them all the time. But we let other people come in and they brought spirits with them and maybe they rejoiced for a little while. And then they tried to take over the church. I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. This is the kind of church we want to have. Well, you know what? Just make up your mind tonight. Nobody's going to take it from you. Nobody's going to, this is your church. I want everyone to say that tonight. Even if it isn't, say it by faith. This is my church. And I will worship God. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm not going to let anything get in my way. This is my birthright. Jesus Christ died so I could have this. I'm not going to be an old grouch and go hang myself like Judas. I'm going to repent like Peter and go have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. I'll fall out of the windows, roll in the streets. And when somebody asks me what's going on, then I'll get up and I'll preach. But you're not taking this out of me. Just make up your mind tonight, friends. I can feel the thoughts. The thoughts that we can't have this. You can. Oh, I've just got more mature. Yeah, you may be more mature in terms of age. But you ought to have more of Him. Don't let anything hold you back. I just need one person to agree with me tonight. I just need one person to say, you know what? I'm going to stand with you. We are going to have the Holy Ghost in the church. And we are going to see people born again of the Spirit of God. And we are going to see deliverance. And we are going to see the supernatural. We are going to see healing. Sinners are going to weep their way to the altar. And Jesus Christ is going to be praised. If you won't worship him, this rock is going to start praising him. God will raise this rock up because somebody's going to praise him. I don't want to hear your excuses. I don't want to hear how hard it is. This rock will take your place. I don't want no rock to shout in my place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory. We got the devil on the run. Let's keep going here a little bit further. I ain't done yet. He's got a black eye and a bloody nose, but I want to stomp on him a little bit. He's rained on my parade long enough. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the birthright? It's a right. That's what I'm trying to tell you now. This Holy Spirit is your birthright. That's your God-given right. Somebody say, that's my God-given right. Hallelujah. So there are many, many in our own ranks that will read these very same quotes. They'll listen to the same tapes, but they will not have this kind of a meeting. And they will withstand me for what I'm doing tonight. Oh, I'll hear about it tomorrow. Some hypocrite is going to listen online. Or somebody here that isn't with us. If that's you, don't tell me. I'm just going to believe that we're all on the same page. And that's going to encourage me when it happens. Because it means I've upset the devil's meeting. And I've let the devil know that, look, fella, it's not your meeting. It's my birthright. I'll praise him no matter what. I'm sick, I'll praise him. I don't have money. I don't have food in the house. I don't have gas in the tank. I'll praise him. A meal ticket. They don't want any Acts 2:38 screaming, speaking young ones around. That's a quote. Why don't they quote that? Oh, Brother Doug, you can't hold on to Pentecost and the message at the same time.
Yes, you can.
Oh, Brother Dummy, you don't know what Pentecost is. Because it isn't for you. So don't quote to me something that you know nothing about. Pentecost is Christ on the scene, making himself real to you. It's the living God. It's Jesus Christ today doing the same things that he said he would do. They're embarrassed to be associated with that stuff. Literally. You can feel it. Don't fight with them. Don't fuss with them. Just realize that whatever their attitude is not your attitude. Well, I hate to see them all worked up. Well, you're going to hate to see them worked up at the Great White Throne Judgment too, aren't you? It isn't for them. The opportunity is there for them, but they don't care about it. That's the whole point. They might be a better person than you. They might be more sincere than you. They might do more for other people. They might look better than you. They might be preferred by the who's who and the what's what. But they don't have the birthright. And they don't have respect for the birthright. But to you, it means everything. Right, Daniel? You're entitled to your own revival. You know what? I'll have a meeting just for you. I will. Yeah. If God doesn't do another thing for me to see my brother, my sister, have an old-fashioned meeting, that makes my day. Hallelujah. I say, enjoy your pottage, Esau, because that's all you're going to get. Meantime, leave my revival alone. Don't try to define it to me. Don't try to... I'm reading the same quotes you are, but I'm emphasizing different ones. You're reading these same quotes, but you're just going right over the top of them. Verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drank and drink and rose up and went his way. He got up, took his napkin, maybe licked his fingers, maybe wiped it on his shirt. That was good, bro. Man, that's the best pottage I think I've ever had. You're going to have to give me the recipe. Man, that's to die for. Yeah, you just died, Esau. Well, it's been a long day. Boy, that was so good. Wonder what's in store for me tomorrow. No remorse, no sorrow. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That's not a very nice word. Come on, friends. Despised it. People, there are people that despise Pentecost. There are people, you just say the word Pentecost, it's a dirty word. Oh, it's just fanaticism. I don't care. Look, I know what the organization did with it. I know what the Methodists did, the Methodist organization did with sanctification. But I still cherish sanctification. I know what the Baptists did with justification, the Lutherans. But I still cherish salvation, justification by faith. Just because the Pentecostal organization made a mess of true Pentecost doesn't mean there isn't a true Pentecost. Come on, you know this is true. Esau gets up, there's no conviction. Nothing to repent of. I don't know about you, friends, but I hate it when I do wrong. Some people will come to you and think, you know, I just got to tell you all these things that are wrong with you, because if I don't, you know, you're kind of going off this. What do you think the Holy Ghost is given for? Amen. If you have the Holy Ghost in your life, you hate it when you do wrong. Amen. And you won't be able to rest. Amen. It'll grind at you and grind at you and grind at you until you make it right. Amen. And you won't wait a month like people that don't have the Holy Ghost. You'll make it right away. You won't be able to sleep. You won't be able to rest. And you'll be thankful for that conviction. You won't be trying to hide it. I love the smiting that comes with making things right. And I'm glad that my Father loves me enough to not let me get away with anything. And I'm thankful that my Father gave me a new nature, so that my desire is not to get by with anything. I don't want to get by with anything. Amen. I want to do what's right. But Esau ate. And then Esau left. And then Esau had no glimmer of remorse. Think about it, friends. We'll pull over here in just a minute. Let me ask you tonight. Serious question. How easy is it to cross that line that has eternal consequences? There is a line that you can cross that you can never come back over. And how easy is it to do that? Esau did it and apparently wasn't even aware of it. It meant nothing to him. Other people do it. They make fun of Pentecost. They make fun of an old-fashioned meeting. They make fun of somebody when they run around like a chicken with its head cut off. But that's life. That's life coming forth. How easy is it to cross that line? How easy is it, you know, that moment that passes by just like every other event passes by in life? It's no different than any other event, but you just crossed a line. I don't say that to scare anybody. especially if that seed's down on the inside of you, because you won't cross that line. You'll say some things out of ignorance. Things that you didn't really know what you were saying. I'm talking about people that know and they mock it. They call it a dirty thing. How easy is it to cross that line? Friends, I'm convinced that most of the miserable people that we put up with in church have crossed the line. There's no turning back for them. Because come on now. 30 years now, and we've been preaching the Holy Ghost. Anybody can receive it. Every opportunity. We paid money for years to have special meetings and go pick a neutral place so that people can meet God. In addition to what we do here in the... We've stood for an old-fashioned meet. We've been criticized. I don't care. I'm just telling you. It's not people that are criticizing you. It's the devil. Amen. It's the devil. It's spirits that we're dealing with. It's the devil trying to keep you from your birthright. Amen. But once you realize that, you think, you know what? You're not calling the shots, devil. Amen. Jesus Christ is. He says, this belongs to me. Get out of my church. Amen. Right? Amen. I'm going to have an old-fashioned meeting. Amen. But I'm convinced there are people that say things that could only be said if they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And if you stay in one place long enough and hear about it, there's a decision time. Come on, I'm not saying this to scare anybody. It should encourage you if you're born again of the Spirit of God or you're desiring to be born again of the Spirit of God. It should encourage you. Because just as sure as if your name is on that book and that gene is down on the inside and you've been elected to life, you're going to come to life. Amen. So there are eternal consequences and yet apparently no awareness of what just took place. Esau didn't come to his senses and then immediately run to his father, begging and crying. He could have run to Isaac. He could have said, Father, you are the priest of this tribe. You can override what Jacob just did. In my moment of weakness, I made a mistake. And he took advantage of me. Intercede for me, Papa. He didn't do that. He didn't care. After he lost his birthright. It means so little to those that it means so little. It means so much to those that it means so much. For a single worthless bowl of soup. Look, don't flatter yourself, anybody here tonight, don't flatter yourself into thinking any conversation that you had with me has any effect on this service. Right? This is what happens when the Holy Ghost has control. What happens is, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Thoughts are coming through my mind so quick. They're like trains that are passing and they're all moving. And you're jumping from one train to another and you're trying to keep the thoughts connected. It dawned on me here the other day, Brother Andy. I've been using that terminology for a while. They're like trains. And then it dawned on me, yeah, train of thought. Maybe that's where train of thought came from. There's a train moving along and it's going a certain direction. Then here's another one that's going that way. But what's amazing is when God's using you, you don't even see the continuity to it. You're just, right? To you, it seems like chop suey. It seems like it's just all cut up and chopped up. But to the person that's listening, oh no, it all connected together. Wow, I can't believe you. And you came all the way back around there and you with a memory problem. Especially as you get older. But you came right back around. How'd that happen? Let go and let God. It takes courage for me to let go and do that. Right? Because I know that Satan's here to criticize. Right? But Satan doesn't get to define me. God already did. I'm going to take what God said. And I'm going to trust Him that He's not going to do anything that I'm going to regret. Now you need to have that same confidence tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Esau ate. Esau left. Esau went to bed. Esau went on with his life, apparently not knowing that he just crossed a line. He didn't come to his senses and immediately beg for his father to intercede. He didn't cry out to God. He didn't care after he lost the birthright. All for a bowl of worthless soup. One bowl. Not a year's supply. Not a month's supply. Not even a day's supply. One bowl of soup. One meal. But it was red soup. What a blind brother Esau was. Jacob was trembling. No doubt Jacob was broken inside. No doubt his conscience was affected when he saw how his brother just had no respect for it. How he just handed it over. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. He did eat, he did drink, he rose up, he went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Hearing, receiving, and acting on the word. He says, now we find that this birthright meant everything to Jacob. Now he didn't care for nothing else but that birthright. He didn't care what it cost him. Oh, you don't have to pay a price. You do. It will cost you everything you have. You have to be willing to give up everything. Oh, no, I don't. Then why did the rich young ruler come to Jesus and say, what must I do to obtain this eternal life? Right? He said, well, obey all the commandments. He says, done. Easy. Already done it. Okay, well, let's get down to where the problem's at. Give up what you care about the most. Give up all your wealth. Sell everything. Give it away to the poor. And then come follow me. Nah, I can't do that. The cost was too great. It is a gift. But you got to empty out. It has to mean more to you than anything. Not just some kind of a whim. Not just some kind of, okay, you know, like 31 flavors. Okay, I'll have a pistachio nut today. You know, I had chocolate yesterday. Sure. You know, want another scoop? Okay. No, it has to be, you know, that's all I want. And if I can't have that, I don't want nothing. I don't want to keep living. I don't want to make plans for my life until God is running my life. Because I don't know what to do. But he does. And I know he has a plan for my life. I want him to have control. I want him to do everything that he said he was going to do for me. I want my own testimony. We find that this birthright meant everything to Jacob. He didn't care for nothing else but that birthright. He didn't care what it cost him. If it was a mess of pottage, he was glad to give it back to Esau. I said just a moment ago, I talk to all of you all the time. And I don't know, in a service like this, I don't know what's going to come out. But I do know that the devil will ride on you. And the devil will tell you, well, you know, that's too close to home or whatever. That's one of the burdens of being a pastor. If you go out on the field, everybody knows that you don't know them. So when that happens, you're like, wow, that was supernatural. But when it's at home, that carnal pastor, right? Don't let the devil rob you. I have no idea what he might be saying to you tonight. I just know that it's good. It'll do you good. It's not meant to harm you, in other words. It's not meant to beat you down. It's meant to build you up. It's your birthright. I want somebody to say that tonight. It's my birthright. No, it's my birthright. No, it's my birthright. No, It's my birthright. Well, I hate when you say that. Well, then why don't you say it?
Amen.
I want to hear it. Amen. Whose birthright is it?
Mine.
Whose birthright?
Mine.
Whose birthright?
Mine.
You were made for this.
Amen.
And it was made for you.
Amen.
This message was made for you.
Amen.
It's not just a bunch of quotes and a bunch of tapes. It's life. It's your birthright. It's Jesus Christ to you personally. That is the message. He didn't care what it cost him if it was a mess of pottage. He was glad to give it back to Esau. So is it with any man or woman that has been ordained to eternal life, that God has called to eternal life, is willing to sell out anything, anything of the world to obtain that birthright. You can call them anything you want. You can tell them that they've lost their mind. And they'll thank you. They'll say, yes, I've been trying to. It's the only way to get the mind of Christ. My mind hasn't been doing me much good. And I would dare to say that your mind is probably not helping you out too much either. But I want the mind of Christ. And to do that, I've got to lose my own mind. I've got to not think my own thoughts. I've got to take on His thoughts. Take on the mind of Christ. Let these thoughts be in you.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You want to do the things that He did, then you need to think the thoughts that He thought. Because it's a thought before it's an action. Is that right?
Right.
So is it with any man or woman that's been ordained to eternal life, that God called to eternal life, is willing to sell out anything. Somebody say anything.
Amen.
What are you willing to sell out?
Amen.
Huh? What are you willing to do?
Anything
of the world to obtain that birthright. You can call them anything you want. You can tell them that they lost their mind, that they've gone off the deep end, bunch of holy rollers. As Brother Branham said, I'd rather be a holy roller than an unholy one. I don't care what you call them. They're seeking for that birthright. And that means more than anything else. They are after that birthright. No matter how they have to get it, they're ready to get it. As I started to say before, this is one of them wraparound kind of a deals. That's my daughter, Rebecca. She's wanting that life. And you know it's our responsibility to create that atmosphere so that that life will come forward. Now, why didn't he just say, now, sweetie pie, my little Rebecca, my little dove, my little favorite. You believe Papa is a prophet? Yes, Daddy. Well, you got it. He didn't say that to his own kid, let alone the church. You won't find that anywhere. You just believe that I'm God's prophet and you got it. The devil believes that. And he sure don't have it. Come on, friends. Well, you'll say amen to every word. You can intellectually do that and still not have the Holy Ghost. But you won't stay with every word without the Holy Ghost. And you won't find out until it's too late. It'll be too late when you realize I can't stay with the word like I thought I could. Look at Peter. Peter thought he was going to stay with the word. He was justified, sanctified, said he'd give his life. He said, I'll stand, you're not going to the cross, I'm standing in your way. I'll cut off heads, ears, whatever I got to do. I won't deny you. No way am I doing it. He meant that. He says, oh, you won't only deny me, you'll deny me three times. Before the sun comes up and the crow starts crowing, the cock starts crowing, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, three times. Oh, no, you must have me mistaken for somebody else. But he found out he needed something more, didn't he? And he died out. And when it came, he received it. And then we don't see him doing any more denying, do we? Come on, friends. We need that power. We need that life. You can't do this on your own. Don't try to be a church member. Get born again of the Spirit. And Acts 2:38, youngin. That's the only kind the Bible produces. The impersonation of Christianity. I love just the titles, don't you? I wonder what this one's about. I've seen many men and women. I've seen many men who even denied the name of the Lord Jesus. They were fine people. That means humanly. Look how much better a man Esau was than Jacob. But he didn't have the conception. Listen to this. He didn't have the conception to know that he had sold his birthright. So people are selling their birthright right in front of you and they don't even know it. It scares the daylights out of you to just think about that. But to them, big whoop. Don't even have the conception to know that he had sold the birthright. Because he despised them. And he was rejected in the sight of God. And didn't know it. Which was far more of a gentleman and a neighbor, a good church member, a man of works than Jacob was. Jacob, his very name is supplanter. You know what a supplanter is? It's a deceiver. So his first nature was to be a deceiver. But Esau was a gentleman in every respect. He wasn't a deceiver. But Jacob had recompense to the birthright. And regardless of what anyone called him, if I would say it, you excuse the expression, they could call him a holy roller, a fanatic, or whatever they wished to. But he had respect to that birthright. Your prophet was at that old-fashioned meeting, his very first Pentecostal meeting. And this 80-year-old fossil who kicked his heels up in the air said, "You don't have enough room up here for me to preach." He took a text from the book of Job. And he said, "Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy and the morning stars sang?" Where were you? He's in his very first Pentecostal meeting and he's being asked, "Where were you? Where'd you come from? Where's your point of origin? Where were you when God laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy and the morning stars sang?" And he was one of those morning stars that was put here on the earth to herald the coming of the Lord. And he's hearing this sermon. Where were you? He's in a Pentecostal meeting and he's hearing for the first time, "Where were you?" And friends, if you can figure out where you were, if it'll break on you, if God will show you where you were, you'll be able to answer a very more important question. And that question is, who are you? Because to know who you are, you have to know where you were. You have to know where you came from to know where you're going to. If you're a son or daughter of God, it's because you were in Him. That's where you were. God looked down through time and saw the morning stars singing and the sons of God shouting for joy when they saw their names were written on the book. And He was going to find His name written on that book. But He first had to have an old-fashioned meeting. He was nervous about it too. He'd seen fanaticism. He witnessed somebody speaking in tongues, somebody interpreting. He witnessed to it that it was exactly correct. But then he had a vision. He saw the one that either spoke in tongues or prophesied, one or the other. One was genuine, real, a real Christian. The other one was a hypocrite. Was sleeping with one woman and they had one color of hair and his wife had another color of hair. And it stumbled him. He thought, "I don't want to get caught up in some fanaticism. God wouldn't be associated with that." But then God took him into the scriptures and showed him the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain is genuine. If the seed is false, it'll just make a happy weed out of it. And it'll quicken it. Because the rain can fall on the just and the unjust. And when the rain falls on the unjust, they get happy. And when the rain falls on the just, that's the problem so much of the time. People look out there and they think, "Well, this guy's a hypocrite and this one's a weed. And this one shouted at church and then he went out the next day and he cheated somebody on a business deal and he's such a hypocrite. So therefore, we're not going to have an old-fashioned meeting." I had a minister who no longer follows the message. There was a young man in his living room, and this young man was asking, how do I get the new birth? How do I know that I got the Holy Ghost? How do I receive it? Well, I just answered him according to the message, according to the Bible. And this pastor got upset. He said, that ain't how it is. He says, the way it is the truth comes to you and you receive it and you recognize, I received that truth. And he says, when you recognize that, you got it. Well, this man has now left the message. So much for that. Everybody that, friends, this is without exception. Everybody that has withstood me on this has shown what kind of a seed they are. Everybody will. You can't speak against it and prosper. You can keep your mouth shut and still prosper, but you speak against it when you've seen it. You cross the line. You're done. Toast. Tostada. Fini. Finished. Burnt. We don't even want leftovers from you. You're done. And they can become such sour people. Why are they sour? No life. Cross the line. But he said, you know what, Brother Doug? He's holding down the, you know, anybody remember walkie-talkies? Well, I guess we got two-way radios now that are kind of similar, right? You hold down the button. One of the hardest things to teach, you know, like a Grayson or a Callan, young kids, they want to talk on the walkie-talkie, and they hold the button down. And they're like, how come I can't hear anything? You got to let go of the button. Okay, they let go, and then they start talking. No, you got to push it down. So they push it down. They talk, and then they say, how come I don't hear anything? Well, you got to let go. And it's just, you know, that whole coordination thing takes a little bit getting used to, right? Well, he held down the button on the walkie-talkie, and he wasn't going to let go of it. And I knew better he wasn't going to listen to what was, and I'm in his home, and, you know, go ahead and say on. But he said, Brother Doug, I'm sick of sending my young people to camp meetings, youth meetings. And then they come back and they give all these testimonies of experiences that they've had. And then a year later, this one fell away and that one this or that. But what about the ones that didn't fall away? I don't disagree that someone had an experience and they need to go further. So what? What about those that didn't fall away? Why aren't you telling me about them? Amen. What about those that really got a hold of God, or God really got a hold of them? Amen. So, because it wasn't genuine for some, let's just don't do it anymore. Well, that's real solid. Let's don't give them any opportunity. Right? Let's let them continue to stay in our old fogey services, sing old fogey songs. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Oh, you're blaspheming right now. Friends, that is not something that stimulates me right now. If I was living in the dark ages, it would stimulate me. Because that's what they were doing. They were walking off. They were martyrs. They marched off. They had their heads chopped off. Their bellies cut open. That ain't my day. My day is, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him that sits on heaven's mercy. See, why am I singing a new song? There's new revelation. And so the song I'm singing matches my revelation. I don't despise those old songs. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I need worship that matches my revelation. Right? And what we can get so comfortable. I don't believe we have that problem here, but I've been to places where, oh no, we got to play country and western message music. Right? We're so against rock and roll, but we can have country and western or jazz or this style or that style. And people just get so set in their ways. Right? That there's no room for the young people. Right? I was told when I came in, well, we shouted and we had that. That was just Pentecost. Now we're gone further. And I'm like, but wait a minute. I didn't have a Pentecost. Is it okay if I have one? Oh, we're beyond that. Well, I'm not. Is it okay for me to have one? Is there room for me to have one? Can I meet the same one? Will he start the joy bells ringing in me, or will he make me a dud like you? Firecracker that was supposed to go off but never did. Come on, friends. Those kind of firecrackers make me nervous. You wonder, are they ever going to go off? Or yeah, they go off, but they go off the wrong way. Just pet them the wrong way and they go off. A Holy Ghost-filled believer, you can trust him. Come on, friends. You can be down in the trenches with him and you can trust him with your life. Isn't that true? People say, well, who can you trust? You can trust your brother and your sister if they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the same spirit that's in them is the same spirit that's in you. We just need to get more filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll answer so many questions for people. It'll settle things. Oscar Mark, help me to pull over here. I don't think you're going to help me though, are you? You're going to pull me another direction, aren't you? What do you need, son? He knows. Just ask for it. He'll give it to you. He hasn't forgotten. You just remind him. As you remind him, it'll remind you. You say, God, I know that you know that I know that you know that I know that you know. And I'm just reminding you, even though you know. But I know that you know that I know that you know that I know. All right, I'm ready, Lord. If it isn't tonight, then tomorrow. If it isn't tomorrow, then tomorrow night. If it isn't tomorrow night, then the next night. But God, I'm waiting. Amen. I trust you. Amen. You said it, Father. Amen. You told me you were going to give me my allowance, Dad. So I'm just going to ask you one time and I'll never ask you again. Well, if I don't give it to you and you never ask me, you don't really want it. But you'll bug me about it. Right. Dad, I know you got a lot on your mind, but you did promise it to me, didn't you? Can I have it, Dad? That's somebody that believes that it's theirs, they're going to ask for it. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give the gift of the Holy Ghost to those that ask? There's too much scripture for this. Hallelujah. Do you realize, this isn't a cheery thought to end on here tonight, so we won't end on this thought. It'll be the second to last thought. Do you realize that people that sell their birthright become reprobates? They cross a line for which there is no longer any forgiveness. None. Nada. Zilch. Fini. I want to think of some other language words for no more. No mas. No matter. Listen. Here's how firm that line is. Jesus could come down in a corporal body, stand in this pulpit, and preach the word, and a reprobate will still walk out the doors, and they will do what is in their heart to do. And we know that the door is closing for salvation for the Gentiles. We know it's almost over for Gentiles. We're at the very end. And we know that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. But what is amazing to me is that Esau felt no remorse. Esau actually despised the birthright. A carnal man who wants to bring the birthright down to a carnal level and make it such a carnal thing. But a born again Christian wants to meet God on his level. What is the mark of the beast, friends? It's simply to recognize and reject the Holy Ghost. You could have been sealed, but now you've been marked instead. to swap it for a creed or for an intellectual conception. So-and-so said I had it. Why would we sell our birthright when we have a right tonight to walk with God and to fellowship with angels? Angels are descending and ascending, ministering to the redeemed of God. Mighty God unveiled before us. He says, and now it's ripe to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost. Oh, wait a minute. Holy Ghost without sensation. I believe that quote, but I also believe this in 1964, June 29th of 1964. The same one that came down on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today. From glory unto glory to glory. And it's back to the original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. With the same signs. They say it comes a different way. It wasn't so from the beginning. With the same signs. Listen to this. With the same wonders. With the same baptism. With the same kind of people acting the same way, with the same power. Are you ready for this? And the same sensation. It's from glory to glory. And the next will be changed from this glory into a body like unto his own glorious body, where we shall see him. Abraham saw the same. Again, and hear ye him. He says, all things are possible to them that believe. We've got the untapped resources of God at our hands to display God. We are sons and daughters of God. When God made man, he made him a god, a minor god, a god of the earth. He gave him a dominion here over the earth. But his fallen estate dropped that. But what they lost by Adam was restored by Christ. He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said shall come to pass, you can have what you said. And all things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Amen. He restored to us all that was lost in Adam. But today, we just think going to church, putting our name on the book. You can't even get people to go to church, so this isn't even describing people of today. They don't even, it's not even important to go to church. The things of this life mean more than coming to church. Today we just think going to church, putting our name on a book, being immersed or sprinkled or whatever it is, shake hands with the congregation, with the pastor, that settles it. And then we come up to Pentecost. We receive the Holy Ghost, it fell upon us, and we begin shouting and praising God. And the power of God came down, and we spoke in tongues and heard them interpret and make great quotations and so forth, and prophecies. That sounds fine and so forth, and prophecies. That sounds fine, but we just stop. That's just the beginning, he says. That's just the beginning. That's when your fire got lit. Listen, you're going to be a holy roller till the day you die. And when you come up, you'll still be a holy roller. Just keep moving on. Just keep going on and on and on. God's depending on us. Somebody has to stand here and say, call me whatever you want, but I'll stand at that gate of Pentecost. I'll stand for an old-fashioned meeting like there was in the beginning. Just come to church content with carnal conversations, good music program perhaps. Some people come to church and say, brother, I like them lizard skin boots you got. Well, I tell you what, I like that tie you got. Where'd you get it? You should get so drunk on God. You should get so drunk on the Spirit that you don't know if I have a green polka dotted tie or if I'm even wearing a tie or if I have a bow tie or whether it has stripes instead of spots. You shouldn't care if my hair's blown back. I had people for a little while, and then they got mad at me when I commented on it. But I had people for a little while, it was during COVID, where you couldn't go to a barber shop. What was I going to do, cut my own hair? You know how that works out. So my hair started getting a little shaggy. That's all they got out of the service. I'm putting everything I got into it, preaching my heart out, but my hair is flying out, hanging out. And boy, brother, you sure need a hair. I even had somebody give me some money. Gave it to our deacon. Had the deacon come to me. Brother, you need a haircut. Don't you think I know that? Are you volunteering to cut it? Maybe I should have just shaved my head. That would have settled it, right? You shouldn't care if my hair is blown back. You shouldn't care if my hair is standing straight up. Or if it's parted down the middle. Or if I don't have any hair. You should be so saturated with the word that you don't notice what else is going on around you. And you leave without any regard of what took place with anybody else. Friends, you get filled with the Spirit and you will never leave church with a critical spirit. You can't have a critical spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, everybody looks good. Isn't that a miracle drug? Everybody looks good. You're drunk on the word. You're stimulated. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's my birthright. I'm just going to put you on notice. I'm going to have an old-fashioned meeting every time we come together. I'm just going to make up my mind. You can either have one or you can watch me have one. But it's my birthright. And you can send me emails and texts. Your hair was standing out this way and that way and your tail of your shirt came flying out. Yeah, but I don't care. I was somewhere else. Too bad you weren't too. We've endured spirits that have tried to shut down the move of God for too long. It's true. It used to be that we just got criticized. But then one day, people started coming in and joining us. We made room for them. They boo-hooed at the altar for a little while. But they never went on and got the Holy Ghost. And friends, you're in a Holy Ghost-filled meeting. You're either going to get filled with the Holy Ghost or you're going to die twice as fast. You realize a log that falls in a pond, it'll rot twice as fast as a log that's laying where there isn't any water. You get in a Holy Ghost-filled meeting and something's going to happen, good or bad. But you get drunk on the word, you'll never leave with a critical spirit. It's time that we walk in our birthright. You young men, you're sitting on there on the front row. Do you want this? Do you want an Acts 2:38 church? That's the only kind there is. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read when the church was born on the day of Pentecost. See how they acted. See how they cared about what people said or thought. See what took place amongst them. See how God vindicated himself amongst them. It brought unity. That's what we need is the Holy Ghost. It's time to walk in our birthright. It's my God-given right tonight, friends, to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Stay with me for just a minute. It's my God-given right to have peace like a river, joy like a fountain. I don't have to leave discouraged. I don't have to leave feeling like something's missing. I don't have to leave wondering if somebody's upset. I can get so full of His glory that I'm living in another world. Amen? I'm in a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since this happy day, He opened up my blinded eyes, and ever since something or else, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I can't express the way I feel. I know without a doubt, I know it's real. Something bells are blah, 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 blah. If we sang it, we need to sing it a little more, don't we? Let them joy bells ring. Not them moaning bells, joy bells. Brother Andy sent me you can't make this stuff up. So he sent us a little cartoon thing, you know. I said this morning, oh man, you ever been so hungry? You said, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Well, this little cartoon that he, you know, I can't imagine eating a horse, but the whole point of it was you wouldn't want to eat a horse, but you're so hungry that you could even eat a horse, right? Unless you're French, you kind of want to do that anyway. But so he sent me this cartoon. This guy's got his horse, and he's pulling his horse behind him, and he's walking, and he says, "I'm so hungry I could eat a horse." And the horse goes, "Moo." The timing is what's so beautiful. I think God has a sense of humor. I think we need to have a little sense of humor, don't we? Life's serious enough. It's my birthright, Sister Baker, to go home drunk in the Spirit. Amen. And to wake up Monday morning still drunk in the Spirit. It's my birthright sometimes to have a designated driver. Because I'm under the influence. And everybody knows that you don't drive under the influence. Thank God for all the angels that are watching over us. Can I read another quote here? I'm just about to pull over. Dangerously close. And the spiritual church is at the end of the road. It's heading towards its head. The coming of the Lord Jesus. It's heading up. That's right. Heading up in the coming of the Lord Jesus. The headship of the church is coming. What's he going to do? Resurrect all the saints and give them a glorified body. Hallelujah. I don't think he just said, hallelujah. That's shouting material. He says, I'm glad to know that she's heading up. But friends, if you don't see any life in her right now, she's not heading up. To know that she's heading up, she's already risen. She's risen from amongst the dead morgues of denominations. She's got life. It's heading up into two great things coming at the end time. The mark of the beast and the seal of God. And the seal of God, any minister knows that's the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not believing God sent a prophet. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's exactly right. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. God put a seal on you. He said, finished. Don't break this seal. It will go to its destination. And I put a seal on there, and even the devil himself can't break that seal. The devil tried to put a seal on Jesus. Tried to seal him up on the seal up his grave. He said, strike me down and I'll raise up in 3 days, right? So the devil said, well, we'll just go ahead and put a seal on the tomb. We'll see if that happens or not. But he broke that seal. The devil can't seal that life, but God can. God can seal that life in you. And that life will see you to your destination, right? And the devil can't stop that. Any seal of God, any minister knows that. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of your redemption. Amen. Oh, I know you think I act funny, but maybe I feel good. Oh my, coming towards the end. Now remember, what is the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is a carnal Esau to reject that birthright. Did Esau weep bitterly, trying to restore the birthright again? But there was no place of repentance. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you seal yourself outside of God's mercy. How tragic. When you reject the Holy Ghost, you seal yourself from God's mercy. You reject the entrance that has been ministered to you. And thank God we've got some ministers that are going to minister it to you. We've got some Andes and Eli's and Doug's and different ones. Not just us, but all over the world. That are still ministering an entrance to you. Still saying there's only one way. And if you miss that, you miss the open door. I can't even imagine an attitude that despises the birthright. But that's what we face in this hour. We don't have to wait tonight, friends, for a revival. We don't have to wait for a certain person to come by to bring his presence. Just make up your mind. It is that simple. It's that simple, brother. Just Make up your mind. You know what? I'm coming. I'm going to have church. Brother Doug might not have church tonight. Brother Doug might have a migraine. I don't get migraines, but let's just say he did. Brother Doug might decide to take the day off, but I'm going to have church. Amen. I'm entitled to it. Amen. It's my birthright. I'm not going to accept. I come to meet with God, and I'm going to meet with Him. I've made up my mind. It's my birthright. Brother Merritt, I felt you pulling all service. You believe this. So does the sister sitting right in front of you. She's thinking, finally. I've been waiting for this. So tired of people putting a wet blanket over things. He's here tonight, friends. And He wants to put dancing shoes on your feet. You say, I don't dance. No doubt you don't dance, but He does. He'll set your feet to dancing. He'll get those joy bells ringing down in your soul. He'll cause you to do things that don't make a whole lot of sense to you. Don't worry about it. It's just life. We just need to let go and let God. The secret to this is to quit trying to do it. Just let God do it. You don't have to try to have a meeting. Just have one. Let go and let God. Again, questions and answers. He says, now notice what he did. What this fella did, Esau, he went out and he tried to take care of his poor old blind daddy, Jacob. Seemingly, he didn't care what happened to him. But there's this one Jacob wanted, and that was that birthright. Regardless of what come, how he had to get it, what level he had to come on, that birthright was all he cared for. And Esau, the Bible said, despised his birthright. The Bible said that. The Bible said, except there comes some vain fornicator among you like this evil person Esau who despised his birthright and sold it for a mess of pottage. What is the birthright? It's the right. That's what I'm trying to tell you now. It's your right, Ben. It's your right to enjoy God in the way God made you. In spite of what nurse, whatever her name was. People can, friends, older people especially here tonight, don't be a bird up on a wire that's sitting up there, well, I see this and I see that, and I'm going to just pick at this and pick at that. Why don't you get down here with the rest of us and just start eating? We don't need any overseers. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. And we have confidence that the Holy Ghost will keep His order. What is the birthright? It's the right. That's what I'm trying to tell you now. The Holy Spirit is your birthright. That's your birthright. That's your God-given right. Now, people would say today, I will go to church. I'm just as good as the next fellow. But me, act like one of them holy rulers? Not me. Well, you Esau, see, it's just the same thing. Despising the birthright. Why, he swapped it for a mess of pottage, and you'll sell it. I don't say you, but the world will sell it for a whole lot less than that. A lot of churches, they've taken out the altar, put it down in the basement. There's no purpose for it, because a new birth comes a different way now. They despise an old-fashioned meeting. They despise emotion that his presence stirs up in a born-again child of God. Friends, the emotion isn't God, but when God comes, there's emotion. Unless you're dead, of course. We realize there's a whole much more to it than emotion. We're not just running off with emotion, but I'll take it. Emotion does come with your walk with... Describe joy to me. How can you have joy without emotion? I'm filled with joy right now. That does not compute. You're not a computer. Joy is a feeling. What is peace? It's a feeling. It's a state of being. What is rest? How do you describe it? A predestinated seed will draw that Son of God to pass their way when they come to meet Him in service, because He said He would be here. He was Reuben, he was to pass this way. I heard that. And since I did that, I came to church early because I wanted to get in a good spot. And I want to be attentive because if he does come this way, I want to drop my direction. I have a chance to have an audience with the supernatural creator of the universe. He will come and meet with me. Humble me in our humble little church if I'll just look for him and wait for him and take him at his word. But Esau despised that birthright, and it meant absolutely nothing to him. Forget the Esau's friends. Don't even focus on it. Don't care. I mean, not that you don't care for that person, but what they have to tell you means nothing. Because it isn't him. They don't have that desire. We know that he did get to the place where he wept bitterly, but he wept bitterly for a blessing and not the birthright. The nominal church wants only the temporary blessings of the here and now. And guess what? There are temporary blessings here and now. There are blessings. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. And you can benefit from that. But God has something more for you tonight. I know I'm wearing you out. I'm pulling over. I really am. There are blessings for anyone that's willing to partake of them. But then there's blessings that are just for you. It's your birthright. What does your heart desire tonight? If you're a child of God, I'll tell you that what your heart desires is your birthright. What you're wanting God to do for you is your birthright. Well, I'm not sure if I should even ask for this. It's your birthright. I'm going to finish on a scripture that's not shouting material, but I have to, because it's part of the picture. Just to show you this and the seriousness of this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So there is a walk that is expected. Amen. There is a certain life, amen, a standard. Don't try and do that without him, though. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Friends, we've had that root of bitterness spring up time and time and time again in the church. And then your pastor has hit on that spirit time and time again. The spirit's gone. Right? We didn't kick anybody out. But spirits have to have people to work through. And if people that are allowing that spirit to work through them leave, and you're not going to allow the spirit to work through you, then the spirit left too, right? So all other people see is the battle that's taking place, the spiritual battle, right? But this is our church. If you're bitter, go be bitter somewhere else. Because the root of bitterness will drive the Holy Spirit right out of the church. Even though I'm not bitter, bitterness in the church will drive it out of the church. It won't drive it out of my life. It'll drive it out of the church, though. Are you still with me? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many. It doesn't just affect one or two. You ought to thank God you got a pastor that's keeping his eye out, that can discern those spirits. Otherwise, many would be defiled. You're not defiled. You're here. You want God. You're not bitter. Anybody bitter here tonight? lest there be any fornicator. Well, Paul, don't use that kind of language. Don't say that in church. You're going to make somebody mad. The only one that's going to get mad is a fornicator. And if the fornicator stops fornicating, he'll quit being mad. But if he has no intention of stopping, he's going to be mad. It's simple, right? If I preach Holy Ghost and you want the Holy Ghost, are you going to get mad? Of course not. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Paul's bringing this into the New Testament. He said this isn't some Old Testament story. This is taking place in a New Testament church. Bitterness. For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. That's tragic, isn't it? Though he sought it carefully with tears. I don't know if this is true or not, friends, but I heard it told several times anyway. I'm sure that it's true for some people. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But I was told that Elvis Presley, when he came to the end of the road, well, we know that he was discouraged, depressed. But I was told that he was trying to find a way back. You see, he was raised in church. He learned his moves in a Pentecostal church. He sang in church. But he used that gift. He sold it out. He sold his birthright for popularity and money. They called him the king. God said, I'll make you kings and priests. He says, well, I want to be a king on this side. You'll be a king over there, not here. You'll be a priest here, a king there. He said, no, I'll take my kingship over here. I understand that he wept and tried to find his way back. So many in the 60s, so many of those singers, Whitney Houston, where'd she learn to sing? Can somebody say church? Jerry Lee Lewis, where'd he play? Church, right? Where did these people learn? Where did the gifts come from? God-given gifts, but they sold their birthright for something temporary, for the here and now. And then they wept bitterly. How many of them have died tragic deaths? Most all of them. They haven't all died yet, but they will. There's no happy ending to that story, is what I'm trying to tell you. Your birthright shows you who you are and what belongs to you. And it's something that you possess, and it's something that will show on the outside. It won't just be you saying you have it. And it's something that all hell recognizes also, even though the church itself will fail to recognize it many times. All hell recognizes it. So you become a target. How many knows that's true? You want your reputation to be marred? Just stand for an old-fashioned meeting. You'll be called Shallow Hal. You'll be called all kinds of things. Shallow Hal, I can take that. That's an easy one. Well, you're just so shallow, you know. Yeah, but I'm happy and you're not. So you're bitter and I'm not. I'm overcoming and you aren't. Oh, wasn't that you that just left the message? Didn't your church just split? Oh, didn't I hear it just split again? Oh, I heard that your family left now. And it's just you and 20 people. What a miserable. This is real life. What a miserable place to be. Don't tell me you can be happy that way. But Sister Allie, I'm happy. In case it doesn't show. I don't know if it's showing tonight, Brother Doug, but I'm happy. Yes, you and I are getting to be old timers together.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's see, Brother Joel, birthday was last Wednesday, right? Happy birthday. Brother Beal, when was your birthday?
Coming up.
When?
18th.
Happy early birthday. Sister Elizabeth, is tomorrow your birthday? No.
Yesterday.
Happy birthday. Anybody else in your family have a birthday this month? Happy birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm having a party. Thanks for coming. Thanks for making it a happy time. Brother Doug's is a week from now. We are 7 and 8 is 15. We're 7 days apart, right?
Yep.
See, public math isn't that hard. 7 days. Both named Doug. Let's spiritualize this somehow. You got a birthday coming up this month, right, Daniel? You're honorary Capricorn. You're actually an Aquarian, but we'll accept you. We got a Capricorn club here. I never met so many Capricorns in my life. Anybody else this month? JJ, that's right. Isaac Baxter. There's another one. When is his? 30th. Okay, Aquarians. That's same month. I'm not speaking against Aquarians. We're all born under a star. Just mine's brighter. No. We're all put here for a purpose, right? Thanks for celebrating my birthday with me tonight. Hallelujah. Actually, my birthday is July 3rd, 1989. I'm a youngster. That's when I was born the second time. That's the birthday we ought to celebrate. That's when I realized that I was eternal. I was eternal before then, but I just came to that realization that I was a son of God. That gene seed in me was quickened. I became a new creature. I may not have looked any different on the outside, but I saw another one. I'm really trying to pull over. I saw another little cartoon that was kind of cute. There was kind of a butterfly or moth kind of a dude that was behind the wheel, and he got pulled over by a cop. Showed him his license, and the picture was a caterpillar, and he says, "That was what I used to look like. That's the old me." And it caught me because I can say the same thing. I can show you a picture of what I looked like when I was living out in the world, and then I can show you a picture of me now. One is an ugly caterpillar, and then the other one is a beautiful thing that has wings, that has a different diet, that has different fellowship, that soars in a different dimension. One was blind, the other one says, "But now I see." Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. You love the Lord?
Yes.
I know I've taken way over into overtime here tonight, but the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. And it will set your heart to dancing too. Yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. And it will set your heart to dancing too. Oh, David danced before the Lord. He danced with all his might. His heart was filled with holy joy. His spirit was so light. Michael through the window looked to criticize, did start. She didn't know that David had got a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing, and it will set your heart to dancing.
peace before the Lord to magnify his name. In God's almighty presence, he felt no sense of shame. The oil of gladness flowed that day, it quickened every part. He had only dancing feet, but he had a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. And it will set your heart to dancing. Out of Egypt long ago, the Israelites were fed. By a mighty miracle, they were all kept and fed. The Lord drew the Red Sea, water soon apart. And God gave Sister Miriam a dance down in her heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. Celebration upon the Red Sea shore. Timbrels rang, desert sands became a dancing floor. The people sang and praised God there. Put a dance of love and joy deep down in their heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you. But he came back to Father's house. The prodigal got dancing shoes to match his dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. Let God give you a dance. Yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. House with music rang to welcome home the sun. Wine was flowing, full and free. All misery was gone. The elder brother, looking on, complained it wasn't fair. He hadn't got a dancing heart like all the others there. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. Yes, the will set your feet to dancing, and it will set your heart to dancing. Now many saints are cold and bound by unbelief today. They want the blessings of the Lord, but worry what men might say. Oh, let the Lord have full control from dead to, and he will set you free from within. You'll have a dancing heart. Set your feet to dancing. Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing, and it will set your heart to dancing too. Now in the Bible we can read that in the latter days, men would leave their first love and turn to carnal ways. But true born saints of Jesus, for the bridegroom set apart, are waiting for his coming with a joyful dance. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing, and it will set your heart to dancing too. Yes, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. Holy Ghost, let our kids learn to dance in church, and it will set your heart to dancing.
This is my birthright. This belongs to me. I'm going to have an old-fashioned meeting. Amen. I'm going to have the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and no bitterness is going to enter into my heart. And I'm going to leave ecstatic every time we come together. Amen. And I'm going to leave so ecstatic that if somebody's bitter, they're going to be uncomfortable being around me. Because there's a no bitterness zone all around. Can we say that tonight? I was made to be happy. I was made to have joy. I was made to have peace. I was made to not be afraid. I was made to be who I really am. No matter what the world might say. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song, It Ain't Nothing. Then I'll turn it over to the song leader because it ain't nothing, you know. That's it.
Around Jericho, and you told him, Lord, you told him the walls would go, and they grumbled and shouted at trouble, cause it ain't nothing. Cause it ain't nothing, it ain't nothing for you. Oh, Elijah, all them prophets said he was wrong. Send the fire down to their gods, they prayed all day long. But then Elijah prayed, down came the fire, and then they knew that it ain't nothing. For you, I may falter, stumble in everything I do. I may worry, hold the breath from my face. It ain't nothing, it ain't nothing for you. I was lonely, sin had broken my heart in two. All the pieces I couldn't mend with the strongest glue. But Lord Jesus, you took the pieces and made me new. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing for you. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing for you. I may falter, stumble in everything I do. And I may worry, hold my breath till my face is clear. But it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing for you. This body is slowly dying without and within. But guess what? I'm not worried. Though the skin worms eat my skin,
because you'll open heaven's doors and I'll walk right in. It ain't nothing.
Another key. I don't know what key we're in. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I may be messing up your keys, whatever. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. The love of Jesus in my heart. Yes, I'm so happy, so very happy. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack. Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, sit on attack. If you're happy, show it. I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding. I'm so happy, so very Oh, don't you love him tonight, friends? Let's sing one more and then we'll hand it over. This old fossil will hand it over. Right now, you don't have enough room up here for me. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. You see, I told Satan, cause victory today is mine. Oh yes, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today. Have a doubt. I knew the Lord would surely bring me out. And so I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, help me please. I got up singing and shouting.